Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a slightly different episode of Keeping Up Appearances, the luxury podcast. It's an executive bonus edition. This is an extra episode of the companion podcast for exploring the galaxy of Hyacinth Bouquet from the BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. My name's Jonathan Vernon-Smith, and with me, just finishing off a prune surprise one-bite canapé for cowherds and shepherdesses, is William Hanson.
Yes, Jonathan and I are here for a second time this week because we love Hyacinth's world and we want to bring you more. As we reach the final series of Keeping Up Appearances, Jonathan and I thought we would start to discuss all those other extra bits we have seen of Hyacinth and her family to bring you the full bouquet.
So, until the end of this podcast, we'll be releasing a second weekly episode exploring even more of Hyacinth's quirks and eccentricities. From interviews and outtakes to TV ads and children in need specials, there's much to discuss. So, what shall we be serving the bucketheads for the candlelit supper we'll call today's episode, William?
Well, we are going to discuss some outtakes from Keeping Up Appearances.
Of which there are many.
There are many, and you can view them all on YouTube, but the exact link in the exact order that roughly we'll be talking about, we're going to put in the description of this podcast. So wherever you are listening to this, if you go to the description, there will be a YouTube link, but you can search on YouTube or any other reputable streaming platform to find these Keeping Up Appearances outtakes, which I think were put on an American DVD. Because they're not in any of the British DVDs.
Oh, I wondered where they had been released. Because they'd clearly been released somewhere.
Yes, because they're sort of slightly edited with a Keeping Up Appearances or trying to. It sort of says. So,
because all of the artwork for the American DVDs was different, wasn't it, to the UK ones?
And much nicer.
Much more flowery.
Yes.
Colourful.
It's a bit boring. In the VHS tapes in the UK were slightly better. But when they then released the DVDs, it was just an image with some sort of fairly generic text on it.
Oh, well, you lucky American listeners, you.
Indeed. Before we launch into discussing the outtakes.
Oh, yes.
I'm very lucky that you're sitting here across from me.
Yes, that's very true. You are lucky. I've had to take a break because I'm having my luxury home redecorated by my new executive decorator, Just Jack.
Lovely. And this is, of course, your home that looks very much like Wainy Elm.
It looks exactly like Wainy Elm. More so day by day, I feel. And yes, Just Jack has been round this afternoon to drop off one or two of his wares ready for tomorrow. And he's bought the paint.
Okay.
I had quite a decision to make because at the moment, I mean, you know I love clunch in the bedroom.
Yes.
But downstairs, I've got shaded white. And I was trying to
It's quite bold, isn't it?
No, it's I think it's a subtle white
okay.
that changes colour depending on the lighting, which is what I love. But there's always a lovely warmth to it.
Yes.
It's not a cold grey. So many cold greys around these days.
Behind you.
Behind me, indeed. And I was wondering, do I go a bit lighter this time? Do I go slightly darker? And in the colour range, so we start with shadow white. That's lighter.
Okay.
So we go shadow white, shaded white, drop cloth. And there were moments where I toyed with going drop cloth.
Oh, two levels deeper.
No, I'm shaded white at the moment.
Oh, sorry.
In the middle.
Sorry, shadow white.
Drop cloth is one darker.
Right.
But I was worried it would look dingy like a prison cell. Because there's always that risk, isn't there?
There is.
And you know my luxury magnolia tree, it can block the sunlight out.
It does, because it can be. I mean, I don't need a lot of light.
No, you don't.
No. but it can be.
You've got a very pale complexion that doesn't benefit from sunlight.
It's called shadow white. I think you're fine. But your sitting area into the dining room.
Sitting area.
Well, because you're sort of semi-open plan, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Free-flowing.
Free-flow. Mm. It can be a little bit dark.
It can be dark, yes. Yeah.
So you don't want to go too dark.
No, exactly. That was what I was worried about. Because in the evening, I think it would look very nice to go with the dark cloth.
Yes.
But during the daytime, I think it would have a little bit of prisoner cell block H about it.
Although the H standing for hyacinth.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Well done.
Prisoner cell block hyacinth. I think that, although I'm sure, I can't remember which interior designer used to say, if it's a light room, paint it light. If it's a dark room, paint it dark. Mm. But I think a dark, like a really deep blue, like the blue we have in our
You see,
bedroom.
You're very bold, aren't you?
Yes.
You're
so, very well, bold. I'm trying.
But your living room is very light, isn't it? Is that clunch? Have you got clunch?
No, that's ammonite.
Oh, of course it is.
Yes.
Now, that can be cold, but it doesn't look cold in yours. But in your bedroom, you've gone for something very royal.
We have. Well, so in our Manchester bedroom, we had a blue bedroom. And that was, well, what is written, stiff key blue.
Of course.
We should just rip the plaster off and say it's a Farinball paint that we're all talking about here. However, I'm told it is pronounced Stewky Blue.
Really?
Yes. So it's very much Bucket Bouquet. It's written stiff key, but pronounced Stewky Blue. In our bedroom now, it's not Farinball, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, no, plus ça change. We went for Lick. We went for a new Lick in the bedroom. And we have got New Amsterdam.
Gosh, get you.
Yes.
On the subject of Farinball, I have it on good authority, and I hate to break this news to all of you, I believe they've discontinued clunch.
Oh.
No more clunch to be found.
Most of our listeners don't love clunch, if we're being honest.
How rude. That's a lovely colour.
We've met them now. We've done the live show. We know our demographic.
That's very true. That's very yes. true. Anyway, so Just Jack will be busy reinvigorating my living room.
How long is it going to take?
Oh, quite a few days. I mean, it's a big room, you know. And he's going all the way up my stairs.
Oh. Does it extend into the upstairs hall?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Oh, yeah. That is a big job.
It is a big job.
Ceilings?
Yes.
White or same colour?
White.
And
I do like a white ceiling. I know that some people, they say go for the same colour as the walls, but I like to break it up with a white ceiling.
Mm. Yes.
And my house is just a little bit hyacinth, and I'm sorry to
Although it has
this.
Got an upstairs.
Yes, it has got an upstairs, but it is a little bit hyacinth in that I've got coving. Now,
I've got coving.
Have you got coving?
Yeah.
Apparently it's very common.
Oh, no.
Yes, coving is common, apparently. I was told the really posh way to have your walls is wall to ceiling. Straight edge, no coving, common.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to break this to you. I mean, you've obviously had it put in.
No, we moved in with it there. But it's coming straight out next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, rip it out. Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh. Well, I think it depends on the era of the house.
Right. Well, mine.
I think that the Georgians used coving or similar.
Did they? My house was built in 1973.
Is that Georgian?
No, I don't believe it is, no. Not quite. What era is that?
Elizabethan. Second Elizabethan.
Prior to the Winter of Discontent.
Yes.
That followed my coving. So anyway, it's a miracle I'm here.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure, and we're here to talk outtakes.
Yes, indeed. And the outtakes are fun. It's a nice collection.
Love it.
Especially if you, like us, like to see your favourite characters, and indeed the actors who portrayed them, break character.
Yes, enjoying themselves. It's nice to see they had fun recording it.
They did. Why are you wafting your pen in my face?
I don't know. I'm getting excited.
Should we take it away from you?
Yeah.
So they. I mean, there are lots. We're not going to talk about absolutely every single outtake today, but we start with some sort of. You can. It sort of moves. To begin with, it moves slightly chronologically. Have you noticed?
No.
Oh. Well, it starts with series
one.
Kind
of detail you're good at.
Yes, exactly. And do you find outtakes, forget keeping appearances, do you generally find watching outtakes or things like Aunt is Bloomers? Or
I love them.
Yeah, do you like them?
I love them. And in fact, you talk about Auntie's bloomers. Did you notice there is a moment later on in the outtakes where you hear one of the producers or directors say, that's going to be on Auntie's bloomers?
Oh, really?
Now, Auntie's bloomers, for any of our bucket heads that aren't aware, it was a programme used to be fronted by the late, great Sir Terry Wogan.
Yes.
And it was all of the outtakes across BBC television programmes.
And should we just explain the Auntie bit?
Yes.
So Auntie, it's not really used anymore, was how it was a sort of a slang nickname for the BBC.
Yeah.
What's on Auntie tonight?
Yes.
Because the BBC was sort of part of the family. And it's
for
not really,
some of us, it still is.
And for some of us, it still is. It's a weird-shaped family now, but it's a family nonetheless.
That's very true.
It's, to quote Jonathan Vernon Smith sometimes, it's not about the BBC. It's like a family you see on the Jeremy Kyle show.
I was going to say, the BBC is not... but with more teeth. Yes.
Yes.
So
beautiful teeth.
Yes, but so we start off with the scene set in the garden...
Mm.
Involving a garden rake.
Yes, and it's when, and I think it's like from episode two. It's not the pilot, I don't think, where Hyacinth is talking to Liz, Richard's gardening, and she backs into the pole. And obviously in the actual episode, it goes up her bum.
Yes.
And she does a high note, but she keeps missing it.
Have you ever had a foreign object up your bottom? What's his name, Vladimir?
Oh. Define foreign.
Have you had something up your bottom that shouldn't have been there? Like a rake?
Like a rake. No, but it's only a Thursday.
Give it time. Give yes. it time.
Give it yes. time.
But she is, we've talked before, haven't we, about how Hyacinth is, she's physically very funny. And yes, it's quite nice to see that it didn't always go smoothly. That physical comedy yeah. sometimes took a bit of work.
You can sort of hear her real, Patricia Routledge's real voice slightly come back, and it gets less Midlands at one point. And again, I'm desperate to talk to Dame Patricia Routledge about the voice and how she found it and her choices, but who knows whether we'll get to do that or not.
Yes. So we have that moment where the reversing into the rake isn't going very well. I can't remember if it was the next scene, but the other really lovely clip that always makes me laugh is where Richard's hat blows off.
Love it.
While they're in the taxi and all of a sudden they're talking. It's that scene where she's wound the window down slightly in the back of the taxi and Richard's hat blows off. And I'll tell you why I love it, because the laughter is 100% genuine laughter, isn't it? It's absolute hilarity. That's something unexpected happening.
Yeah, so it's from the episode Onslow's Birthday in Series 2. Hyacinth is in the black cab and Richard is outside.
The green cab.
Oh, the green cab.
It's always the same green cab, don't forget.
And yes, they're chatting and there's obviously a gust of wind and the hat blows off. What I quite like about that clip in particular is Clive Swift doesn't bother to go and get it. he holds his position. Mm. Now, I don't think that's him being starry, thinking someone else is going to get that. I think it's probably because the camera shot sort of been set and he's got to crouch at a particular level and he probably couldn't be bothered to reset that. And in the interest of efficiency, he continued.
Mm.
Or he could be being starry, we don't know.
But Patricia Routledge roars with laughter and it's a laugh that we never, ever hear in Keeping Up Appearances. And
no.
I presume that is her genuine laugh.
Yes.
It's quite a cackle, actually, isn't it?
It is. It's a wicked laugh.
It is. But then it's a funny moment.
Yeah, and I guess, because there are bits, and we'll come on to talk about this in a minute, there are bits where things go wrong, and I'm not sure, watching the outtakes, whether Dame Patricia, as she is now, would actually... Was she amused? Was she frustrated? Because obviously they're working, and we're all enjoying it, and the audience in the studio are loving it. But they are actually doing their job. And just like if something didn't work when you were doing the radio, or if, you know, a fork went the wrong way on a table I was setting or something, you would be annoyed because it is your working environment.
Yes, although the one thing that struck me from all of these outtake clips is the fact that Dame Patricia does seem to find things funny. You know, I was always worried that maybe she did take herself and the performance very seriously, and that she would get genuinely irritated if people mucked up their lines. But she seems to find those moments enjoyable, and she seems to go along with them. Certainly in the clips that they released, anyway.
Yes. Well, yes. Mm. Oh, that's a good point. I also think you can see a difference between the clips, the outtakes that are filmed on location, so outside Wayne Elm, for example, or the taxi, versus the ones in the studio, particularly with Patricia, because she sort of plays up to the studio audience. And obviously she really is a theatre actress. And she when she fluffs, she doesn't just sort of laugh and hold her position. She'll do funny
positions. How many times does she adjust her teeth?
Yes, when she can't get the line in. Mm. Or she even does, and I did for you because I had a free half an hour. I did some. Are you aware of the hands that she does?
Well,
and what
I know
she means.
These hands.
No, but you remember she's on the telephone. Liz is behind her and she does this. And she sort of does those. Now, do you know whose hands they are?
No.
They're Judy Garland's. So she does so Judy Garland would often do this pose in photographs when she was younger. She played Dorothy.
How do you know that?
Because guess who also did the Judy Garland hands, deliberately as an homage?
Who? Larry Grayson.
Larry Grayson, there he is, doing the hands. And also I've started doing it in publicity photos as well. There's a
Oh, I see. I'm spying a theme.
That's why I know.
Right.
But she does. And it was only when, and I've watched that clip a lot, obviously, watch these outtakes, and she sort of does these hands, and it's obviously an homage to Judy Garland.
Well, I never.
No, a tiny little detail.
Are you sure, though?
Well, I think mainly.
Okay, well, we'll go along with your theory.
I'm going along
exactly.
with it.
It sounds artistic, so we'll go with it.
Sheridan's artistic, I'm artistic. That's a quote from one episode. I forget which one.
I tell you what, though, you say that Dame Patricia enjoyed the audience, but I think that our lovely Daisy, Judy Cornwell,
loved Judy Cornwell.
Another character. Judy Cornwell and
Y. I. Onslow.
Yeah. She got tattoos all over. And Onslow.
Yes.
They milked the audience, didn't they? I mean, when they, in these outtakes, when they either muck something up or something goes wrong, you can see they're loving it, but they're feeding off the audience laughing as well, aren't they?
Yeah, and playing up to it as well.
Completely. And in fact, do you remember when we spoke to Judy Cornwell and she was talking about all of the things that used to go wrong in the bed? I mean, that was clearly where they had the most fun with the audience.
Well, it's also where they were in the most.
That's true.
Yeah, there were a lot of scenes
That's
there.
Very true.
I also, going back to Patricia Routledge being a stage actress, there are a couple of times where, again, she fluffs her lines. And we should just say a lot of these outtakes are line fluffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she sort of goes to either adjust her teeth or she says, and it's obviously a really old saying in the theatre, "There's a gremlin in front tonight," meaning there's a gremlin in the house and something's going wrong.
Yeah.
But nobody sort of gets it or laughs because obviously the studio audience thinking, well, what's gone on? But it's just interesting how she reacts to these fluffs.
Theatrical.
She is very theatrical.
She is, yeah. Oh! I'd better get that. The bouquet residence, the lady of the house speaking.
We'll be back momentarily after Jonathan explains to that caller that we do not have a special offer on spicy prawn balls.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, Bucketheads. We're discussing the outtakes that are available all over the internet of Keeping Up Appearances.
And we've said a lot of the outtakes seem to be fluffs. There are lots of the cast getting the lines incorrect. In particular, I mean, actually, I was surprised that we see quite a lot of Daisy and Onslow or Rose line fluffs, when actually their lines, I would say in the grand scheme of Keeping Up Appearances lines, are a little bit more straightforward. Hyacinth is the one with the sort of the poetry,
yes,
and the musicality in the lines.
Complicated.
Very complicated. But yes, I also like, if it's not a line fluff, it's where the set goes wrong.
Yes.
In particular, doors not opening, letterboxes, there's lovely Charmaine May, yes, can't get into the Onslow's letter flap.
Love that. I love that moment. I mean, there's nothing funnier than a letterbox falling off in your hand. But the moment where the door is locked and she's trying to open the door and then this hand reaches in.
Yeah.
Do you notice somebody wearing a suit?
Yes.
Who would that be wearing
a suit? I wondered if it was Harold Snowd as producer-director.
But the photos in his book of him on set, he doesn't seem to be wearing a suit.
Floor manager?
Maybe. Somebody who dressed up for the experience.
Quality.
Exactly.
Standards.
Quality. Exactly.
Maybe, I also would like to know, would they wear that if it weren't Keeping Up Appearances? Are they dressing up a bit more because of the nature of the programme? If it was, you know, Men Behaving Badly that they were recording, would they bother?
Or Bottom.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Bottom?
The programme?
Yes.
No. Was that Rick Mayall?
Yes, it was. Rick Mayall and Adrian Edmondson.
That's it, yes.
They used to spend a lot of time bashing one another around the head with frying pans. Nothing at all like Hyacinth and Richard.
The quality.
No, that's right.
Have you ever, side note, talking floor managers and sort of how those studio sitcoms were done, although this is the 70s that this one was done, have you ever watched The Good Life?
Yes.
Do you like The Good Life?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, The Good Life finished, and then Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, her late Majesty, basically then went, I'd quite like to go and watch that in the studio. So they wrote another episode.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
Really?
It is the actual last episode, not the one that was planned as the last, not the penultimate episode.
Right.
And if you watch that, they have at the start 10 minutes of Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip arriving at Television Centre. And then the floor manager, who is in black tie, but that's because they're in the presence of the Queen, sort of introduces Richard Briers, Felicity Kendall, Penelope Keith and Paul Eddington. And they come out and sort of one by one. And then sort of he gives a tour of the sets to the audience. And it's just sort of nice to watch sort of how it's done and actually how back-to-back the sets were. And we don't really see that much of Keeping Appearances. There's, I think, one picture available somewhere in the depths of the internet of the sets. But yeah, anyway,
it's a shame her late Majesty, because she loved Keeping Up Appearances, didn't she?
In particular, and the Queen Mother.
It's a shame they didn't demand more.
Yes.
Because we'd all have another series potentially to enjoy.
Yeah, and I'm sure Dame Patricia would have obliged.
Of course she would.
Yeah.
If her late Majesty had asked.
Yes.
Of course.
Never mind.
There's a nice moment. Actually, talking of people who are no longer with us, sadly.
Yes.
You know, in the Richard's Having Me Alarmed by a Team of Professionals.
Yes.
Ian Lavender. There's also a nice outtake where he's trying to shut the clipboard and he kind of almost snaps his face in it. That's a nice moment. As well.
Yeah, it's lovely. There are little things like that. And also Mary Miller, of course, another wonderful stage actress, when they're talking about what if Mr. Bickerstaff rings and they keep getting the line wrong. And Mary Miller does this very sort of soprano high note, which is nice because we don't really ever hear Rose sing.
And she could sing.
She really could sing. Mm. She was just before she died, she opened on the West End, as it were, as Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast. Mm. She was the original Mrs. Potts.
I think we've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I think so. And I remember I went to go and watch Beauty and the Beast with my parents and my grandmother. And she was. We weren't going because of Mary Miller, but then when I discovered it was an extra frisson because I was very young and loved Keeping Appearances. But she sadly wasn't on because she was in the stages of sadly dying from cancer, which was very sad.
one of my favourite moments.
Go for it, Jonathan.
In the outtakes.
Yes.
The my favourite clip out of all of them, I think, is where they're in the Rover 216 and they're on their way back from the Garden Centre King.
C.P. Benedict.
C.P. Benedict. And all the plants are in the car.
Yeah.
That is really funny because Dame Patricia Routledge is killing herself with laughter, isn't she? You can see how she's trying not to laugh. But the sheer ridiculousness of the whole situation, obviously, at some point just gets to her.
Yeah. And actually, I'm fairly sure I should go back and listen to our own accompanying podcast for that episode. I think in the actual edit of the episode of the show, you can slightly see at points, I'm thinking I've pointed it out in our podcast, where they're beginning to corpse. Because also that is a scene that has to be done all in one take.
Yeah.
You can't do any cutaways.
No, you can't. And there's a hilarious moment. And I don't think they can have shown that in the actual episode.
No, but there must be different edits.
You know, whoever was in the back of the car shaking the plant in the middle, and they're shaking it too vigorously, and it just looks like someone's shaking the tree, doesn't it?
It does, which is fun.
It is.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was quite that extreme in the actual episode.
No, but they must have just had to do it again, but they're still, sort of the laughter is...
Yeah. But where the plant keeps falling on Hyacinth's face and...
Mind the tree.
Yeah.
Comes forward.
So I love that. I rewound that and watched that over and over again because you can just see her. She gets to this point where she thinks, I can't carry on with this. This is absolutely ridiculous.
But
and
that,
it is.
That's the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's why
we love
it.
It was a great moment.
Earlier on, we should let an own outtake of our own. Apparently, in the intro script, I read out, instead of Hyacinth's World, I said Hyacinth World.
Oh.
Hello, Jonathan and I are here for a second time this week because, as you know, we love Hyacinth World and we want to bring you more. As we reach the final series of Keeping Up Appearances, the luxury pop... As we reach the final series...
Can you go back to the... Because I think you didn't say Hyacinths. Sounded like Hyacinth World.
Sorry.
Like a theme park. Oh, Hyacinth World.
Let's talk about this in this episode.
What was the name of Michael Jackson's theme park?
Neverland.
You've heard of Neverland. Well, welcome to Hyacinth World. Spinning roll Dalton, hand-painted periwinkle cups.
Save it, yes, love it.
You know they have, though, have you ever been to Thorpe Park?
Yes.
They have the teacup.
Oh, they've got them at Disney.
Have they?
Yeah, the Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
I don't know, I hated Disney so much. I closed my eyes for most of it. But they had these teacups that spin.
Yes.
And they could have the Royal Dalton with the hand-painted periwinkles.
Yes.
We could spin around on that.
I think that's lovely. And you could maybe hold a Royal Dalton, an actual size one, and try and keep it...
Keep your tea in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Add a bit of Jeopardy.
That's a good idea. And instead of the Dodgems... Rover 216s all
yes.
crashing into
or
one.
Or the Cortina. You can mix it up.
It's a very good idea.
I think it's nice.
And you know when they go to down to the coast in Series 5?
It's the episode we've just talked about.
Exactly. You know they go into the theme park there with the
ghost train.
Well, not only the ghost train,
oh,
but
and the
floor,
funny walk.
The funny
yes.
walk.
Could do that.
Mr. Farino.
Yes. Well done. Time of recording, we have not talked about that episode yet. And yes, also the roller coaster, because it needs everything, part needs a roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be that they're sitting in the Rover 216, but Daddy has taken it with...
On a joyride.
On a joyride.
Yeah.
And so it's so fast and dippy, etc. There goes Daddy with my tuna mayonnaise.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's Hyacinth World.
Well, when this podcast dries up, William... This is what we have to do.
We shall set up Hyacinth World.
We'll set up Hyacinth World, no mistake about
it. And you know at Disney, if you can't remember, you remember the castle. You must remember the castle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We could have a massive version of Hyacinth's house.
Wadey Elm looming down.
Huge.
Yeah.
Four times scale.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
And a big orchestral version of the theme tune with Disney-style dancers.
Everywhere. Yes, a parade.
Doing a dance.
Lots of people in A-line dresses with peep-toe slingbacks doing high kicks. I think it'd be great.
Peep toe slingbacks flying into the audience. This is fantastic.
The catering.
Never think of this before. what, indoors, outdoors, luxury barbecue, yeah, finger buffet?
Yes, exactly. Prune surprises.
Of course.
Select Norwegian prawns.
Well, watch this space, bucket heads.
Hyacinth World coming soon.
Yes.
To Binley Woods.
Yeah,
we Let's build it in Binley Woods.
It would make sense. It's what the people would want.
It will give people a reason to go to the Midlands.
Just getting back to the outtakes.
Oh, if we must.
Just for a minute. Breaking away from Hyacinth World, there is also another very funny clip.
Mm.
Where they're on the golf course. And there's, first of all, there's the one where she's spinning the golf club and she kind of falls over.
Yeah.
That's quite good. Mm. But my favourite one is where she goes, you know the way she kind of taps on her nose?
Yes.
In the scene.
Yeah.
But she kind of presses her nose and she says, and I like when Clive Swift,
yes,
then goes,
They all, you know, I know obviously it came to an end and we'll, you know, we'll discuss that at some point. But they're all having great time.
They had so much fun. They had so much fun.
And remember, Bucketheads, if you want to watch any of these outtakes and enjoy them as much as we have, the link is in the description of this podcast or search on YouTube for Keeping Up Appearances Outtakes.
Talking of Hyacinth and Richard, Clive Swift and Dame Patricia,
mm,
one of the other nice things that comes out in these outtakes, have you noticed how Clive Swift calls Patricia, Dame Patricia, darling, and she calls him sweetheart?
Oh.
As they're recording, they have lovely terms for one another, which again just shows that there was a genuine, obvious love for,
yeah,
one another during the recording of it.
Oh, that's nice. Mm. Yeah, that's really nice.
And there's also one other thing that I think is worthy of note in the outtakes. Did you see the clip where Dame Patricia spills the milk bottle in the kitchen?
Yes.
Milk goes everywhere. And I thought, what a lovely irony in front of Elizabeth.
The, yes,
person who actually has a major spillage is our Hyacinth, not poor old Liz from next door.
Love it.
Well, we'll be back next week for a regular episode where we'll be discussing the second episode of Series 5 of Keeping Up Appearances, The Fancy Dress Ball. Until our deep psychic bonds and podcast feeds bring us all together again, mind you, don't brush up against any walls in the meantime. Goodbye, Bucketheads.
Bye.
Shrink the Box is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Nimon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behaviour creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Box is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.